This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a wonderful day it is to be together in this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome you if you are here for the first time or the 500th time. We're so glad to be together. And if you're joining us online, we're especially glad that you're with us today. And I would ask you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know that you're with us. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in the chat there to register. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll sign in, and if you're visiting with us and perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, please share a mailing address or an email address or phone number with us, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you and begin the conversation about how we can serve God together in this community. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. Next weekend, since it's the July 4th weekend, we will have one worship service at 10 a.m., and we will not be having Sunday school. We will have children's church, however, during the worship service. So we wanted to make sure that everyone was aware of the change of time for next week and next week only. Today and yesterday, many in our community are celebrating at the Pride Festival. Many of you were there yesterday sharing God's unconditional love in our community. I'll be there this afternoon, and at 3 o'clock, I'll have the privilege of presiding over communion at the West End table there. And we hope that any of you who are able will come and join us. There are lots of announcements in the insert in your bulletin, opportunities to learn and grow and serve in the upcoming weeks. I did want to highlight that registration is now open for our all-church retreat this fall. September 15th through 17th, we're going up to Beersheba Springs Assembly, which is a beautiful place up in the mountains, and we hope that you will sign up and be part of that great event. It's been a long time since West End has done that, and so we're picking back up that tradition together. This morning, we're continuing our journey through the scriptures, and we find ourselves in some of the wisdom writings, Song of Songs, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And so as we hear these voices, the ancient voices that speak to us, the wisdom, and impart to us that wisdom, may we hear God's wisdom guiding us and teaching us as we worship.
Thank you. The Lord welcomes everyone without reservation or restrictions. We are beloved. The love of God surrounds us. The Lord heals our wounds with grace and mercy. We are forgiven. The grace of Christ redeems us. The Lord calls us to kindness and service. We are one. We respond to God by offering generous hospitality, acceptance, and love to everyone. And now let us pray our call to confession today. Christ's love for us is unconditional and eternal, but we love others with reservations and demands and selfishness. Christ's forgiveness is immediate and infinite, but we forgive with condemnation, reluctance, and resentment. We are self-righteous when we should be compassionate, self-important when we should be humble, self-centered when we should be generous. Lord, deliver us from our self-obsessions. Allow us to rediscover love and peace in the healing presence of your grace. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. And this morning, for those of us that are in the sanctuary, you can do that however feels most comfortable for you. And for those of you joining us online, you can send a text or share a piece in the chat. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Lessons from the Old Testament. My beloved spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling. My beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit, the blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me."
My child, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
Go, eat your food and with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Always be clothed in white, and always anoint your head with oil. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. All the days of this meaningless life that God has given you, all your meaningless life. For this is your lot in life, and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge nor wisdom. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not for the swift, or the battle for the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups to be seated, and if there are any children who want to come and join me up here, come on down. And if you're worshiping from home, or maybe you're away on vacation and you're worshiping from there, just move a little closer to your screens and we'll have a moment together. Good morning. Yay, good morning. Come on down. Good to see all of you. Hey, Penelope. Come on down. I'm so glad to see all of you. This beautiful summer day, I hope y'all are having a good summer so far. I certainly am. One of the reasons I've had a good summer so far is that I just got back from the beach. I love the beach too. And I got to go with my husband's family. And so there was my mother-in-law, who is in her 80s. And then I also had a niece and nephew who are 8 years old and 5 years old, and then a bunch of us who were in between. And it was so much fun having everybody there, because with my niece and nephew, we played some really fun card games when we were in the house. And then when we went out on the beach, we jumped in the waves and we built sand castles. And these were all things that I wouldn't have done if it had just been me and my husband. And then in the mornings when I would wake up early and I'd get my cup of coffee and I'd go sit on the deck, and there was my mother-in-law, and she had her binoculars, and we were looking out over this marsh, and there were all these different birds, storks and tricolored herons and great egrets and all these birds that I hadn't heard of, and she was telling me what all of them were and what their habits were, and we would just sit quietly and sip our coffee and watch the birds. And I wouldn't have done that if she hadn't been there. And it just reminds me that no matter what age we are, we have a lot to share with each other and a lot to learn from each other. I learned how to have fun and play at the beach from my 8 and 5 year old niece and nephew. And I learned how to sit quietly and watch God's beautiful creation with my mother-in-law. And I'm so glad to be part of a church that has people of all ages, from 1 day old to 102. We have one church member who is 102 years old. Isn't that wonderful? And we all have things to learn from each other. Let's thank God for that. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that we can be part of a church family with people of all ages, and that you work and move through everybody. And if we stay open, we can learn from one another. We can learn more about you, how to love, how to enjoy your creation, how to play, and how to be grateful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, 3, 4, and 5 year olds can go with Emily and Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with parents or friends. I know that many of you, through the course of this month, have participated in the intergenerational Sunday school that we had for this month. I got to participate in 3 out of the 4. For one of those, I was at the beach. But I had so much fun in those gatherings. And I want to thank Emily and Maggie and Aaron and all those who helped make it happen, because it's been a really special experience. I got to sit at a table with someone who was in his 80s and a child who was 7 and a couple of us in our middle age. And we talked about God and creation and wonder, and we drew pictures and played with Play-Doh, and it was really an enriching experience. The idea came actually a few years ago when Maggie and Emily and Aaron and Brandon in 2019 went to a conference on intergenerational ministry and learned about the benefits that we can gain from one another if we spend time together, if adults spending time with children and youth. And so they came home from that conference and said, okay, in the summer of 2020, we're going to do intergenerational Sunday school. We all know what happened in 2020. It didn't happen then, but over time and with some planning, they made it happen in the month of June. And it was a beautiful experience. This morning, we find ourselves in these 3 writings, these 3 books of the Bible that are part of the wisdom literature. Very ancient writings. We don't really know who wrote them, but they're considered wisdom writings. Poetry, proverbs, a memoir in a way, that can speak to us out of the very human experiences of these writers passing down to us some of the wisdom they bring. And if you think about it, this reading is sort of an intergenerational reading. I wish I could remember where I came across this idea so I could give that person credit, but somewhere in recent years, I came across this idea, this framing of these wisdom writings. That the Song of Songs that Patrick read for us is kind of like the voice of youth. And that Proverbs, which Kathy read, is more the voice coming from middle age, a parent speaking to a child. And then the voice of Ecclesiastes, the voice of the elder, looking back on a life well and fully lived, imparting wisdom to those of the younger generations. And so I want us to be open this morning to the wisdom that comes to us from different generations, from different seasons of life, to dig in together to these texts and to see what wisdom they have to offer us. Not just human wisdom, but the wisdom of faith, the wisdom that only comes from life with God. So let's start with Song of Songs, the voice of the young. Could you hear it as Patrick was reading? The enthusiasm, the longing, the passion for life. The Song of Songs is really a love poem. It is a celebration of human love. It is two people who are in love with each other and they're longing to be together. Arise, my fair one, my love, and come away. Come away with me. Look, the flowers are blooming, the grass is green. Every possibility is open to us. Now, there are some across the centuries who have argued that Song of Songs shouldn't be included in the Bible because it's about human love, romantic love. And there are interpreters over the years who have said, yes, it's about that, but we could also read it as the soul's longing for union with God. What a beautiful way to read that poetry. But for my part, I'm grateful that this poem that celebrates love between two people is included in the scriptures, because it is one way that many of us experience love of God, is through that kind of partnership and love. Not everyone, but is there for some. But what we hear in these words is not just a celebration of romantic love, but that idealism and passion that comes when we're young, open to all sorts of possibilities. And we see that in our young people at times, that ability to think outside the box, to ask questions like, why not? Or what if? To dream big and to believe that all things are possible. I remember my 13-year-old self. There was a concert that was performed at my church by a songwriter named Ken Miedema. Anybody ever heard of Ken Miedema? Yes. This was in the early 80s. He's a beautiful songwriter. And he had come and performed at my church. But I was out of town on vacation with my family, I think. And so somehow somebody got a cassette of the concert. Do y'all know what a cassette is, by the way? And I had a tape recorder. And I would put the cassette in the recorder, put it under my pillow, and hit play. And as I went to sleep, I would hear Ken Miedema singing. And I will never forget this phrase in one of his songs, Come Let Us Reason Together, where he sings, do you dream and weep sometimes about the way the world should be? And I did. My 13-year-old self dreamed and wept, longing for the world to be better than it was, longing for the relationships in my family to be better than they were, longing for the images I saw on the news of war and violence to cease, longing for peace on earth. And I believed it was possible, and I prayed for it, and I longed for it, and I hear that longing and that passion in Song of Songs. And I need to remember that 13-year-old within me. And I need to be in relationship with young people in this congregation who can remind me of those dreams and that hope and the possibility and potential and the why not and what if. In the church I served before I came to West End, in 2015, We were invited as a congregation to consider signing on to some petitions that were going to be going to General Conference in 2016. And this would express our will as a congregation that our book of discipline in the denomination would change, that we could remove from our book of discipline any language that would prohibit our LGBTQ friends and church members from being married or being ordained in the church. And I knew where I stood, and I knew where a lot of folks in the congregation stood, but I wasn't sure where all of us as a congregation, what might be the will of the congregation. And so we spent some careful, intentional time in conversation, in small groups, in listening sessions, facilitated by Stephen ministers or by people in the congregation who were wise and who could hold space for all different points of view. And members of the church council were sprinkled through all of the groups, and we just listened with respect and love for one another. And then after we collected all of these conversations, the church council gathered with the group facilitators, and we entered into prayer and discernment. And we were together for many hours. And at some point, we sort of reached this consensus that as a congregation, yes, we were in support of these petitions. But there were some who were expressing a little bit of anxiety and worry that, but I'm afraid if we do this, that some of our members will be uncomfortable. And so things seemed to be moving in that direction. And then one of our youth representatives on the council, quiet young man, 15 years old, very faithful to the church, raised his hand and said, "Are we supposed to be comfortable?" The spirit in the room shifted. By asking that question, why not? What if? Are we supposed to be comfortable? He led us in a new direction. Proverbs. We come to middle age. It's me. Just barely, I think. I'm almost about to age out, but this is a season of life, 30s, 40s, 50s, that's very full. A season of life when many of us in our professional lives are getting into positions of responsibility, where we manage people, we manage money, we manage vision, we manage ideas, we have a lot of responsibility. And if you're like me, you still feel like, I don't know what I'm doing. Divinity School did not prepare me for a global pandemic, 21st century. And so we live with this feeling of, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing, but I'm not sure I know what I'm doing, and that plate's spinning in the air. Some of us are taking care of aging parents and having to make decisions about their finances and their health and all of these things, and we power of attorney and all these things we're supposed to know, and that plate's spinning in the air. Many of you are parents. It's hard to be a parent right now. Not only have we tried to navigate this global pandemic and keep our kids engaged with life and school and all of these things, but the anxiety in our communities around gun violence and what we've experienced here in Nashville and wanting deeply for your children to be safe. We hold all of that, and I do too. And our deepest desire as parents or as teachers or as Sunday school teachers or for those of us who have children in our lives in some way is that they would be happy, that they would be well, that they would know at their deepest core that they're loved and supported, and that they would know God. And I hear that in this voice from Proverbs, my child. Here are some guidelines, and there are lots of them. It's a long book. Do this, don't do that. Willimon has said, reading Proverbs is like sitting in the car for 10 hours with your mother. There is a lot of advice coming down. No offense, Kathy. I'm sure Eva loves riding in the car with you down to Florida. But underneath all of that advice really is that deep longing that this child would know God. And the word of wisdom comes through and says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God, submit to God, walk with God every day of your life. And I think that's a good word for us too. With all of our plates spinning in the air, I have felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to this word for a long time now, reminding me that I'm trying to keep all the plates in the air, and I'm trusting in my own skills and ability to do it all. I think I should be able to do it all and do it well. And Proverbs reminds me, the voice of wisdom coming through the scriptures reminds me, no, you can't. You are limited. Do not think yourself to be wiser than you are. Trust in the Lord. Lean on Christ to walk with you. Our theme at annual conference this week was abide in Christ. And this is where the Spirit was nudging me again and again, because so many of our speakers were talking about leaning into God, letting go of our efforts to try and do it all ourselves. And so even if you're in a season of life where you are going and doing all the time, driving carpool or at your job 70 hours a week or whatever it might be, find time to pray, to rest in God's presence, to turn to God, the scriptures, the faith community for wisdom and support and strength, because you cannot do it alone. None of us can. We're not meant to. Trust in the Lord. Lean. And then there's the voice from Ecclesiastes, the voice of the elder, which I think no one could read it more beautifully than Bill Miller, that voice. And there's a lot in Ecclesiastes that seems to say this elder, this teacher, is at a place of a little bit of cynicism. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, is how the book begins. I tried all of these things to make myself happy, to be fulfilled in life, gold, money, relationships, whatever, and it was all a chasing after the wind. It was all meaningless. Life is vain. And there is that tone in the book. It's almost as if he's suffering from a little bit of depression. Of course, we know what that's like. I know it's possible to get to that place in life and think, what's it all been about? But in this book as well, there is an undercurrent of wisdom. My husband put it this way: it's not up to you to make your life meaningful. God takes care of that. Your life is meaningful because it belongs to God. Now, this specific text that Bill read is one that we actually had read at our wedding, which was 24 years ago tomorrow. Thank you very much. been a wonderful journey. My husband loves the book of Ecclesiastes. He didn't find out till later that I removed the word vain from the reading. The translation here said meaningless. Love the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, is what it says. All the days of your meaningless life. So I took that part out. He wasn't happy about that. So we'll put it back in. But what I hear the voice in Ecclesiastes saying is that all of these things that we're so anxious about, that we have stressed out about all across our lives, past. For everything there is a season. This too shall pass, my mother used to say. And when it comes down to it, the advice we get in Ecclesiastes, and go and enjoy your life with gratitude. Eat your bread and drink your wine with a merry heart. Enjoy the days that you have with the spouse whom you love, if you have a spouse. For, listen to this, for God has long ago approved what you do. Now, I take a little issue with that. I'm not sure that God approves of everything I do. I'm not sure that every action I take and every choice I make is in line with who God really wants me to be and what God wants me to be doing. I fail, I sin, I mess up. But what I hear in these words is God has long ago approved of you. God has long ago approved of who you are. Sounds a little bit like God loves you unconditionally. And the voice of the elder tells us if you can accept the fact that you are accepted, that you are already beloved, not because of what you've done or haven't done, but just because you are, then you can be set free for joy and for gratitude. And you can be fully present to life as it comes to you with all of its ups and downs, ins and outs, failures and successes. Because all of that in the end is just part of life. So we hear these voices from every age. And we realize that all of us, from the very youngest to the very oldest, are learners together. We are all learning to lean. That's another one of my camp meeting songs. I'm not going to sing it for you. But it's learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed, learning to lean. And so as we learn together, as we lean together, may we give thanks to God for those of every age who impart God's wisdom to us. And may we never stop learning and never stop leaning.
What a fellowship, what a As we respond to these words of wisdom, let us please stand and speak together the affirmation of faith that can be found in your bulletin. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, seeking just evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral staff to pray throughout the week, you're invited on our website to click the Contact Us, or if you're here in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you. You can place those in the offering plate as it is passed. I invite you to see the prayer list in the insert in your bulletin. Please keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Lord, we sit today reflecting upon the wisdom you offer us through the scriptures. Oftentimes they are uplifting and encouraging and give us counsel that makes the path clear for us. And other times it causes us to scratch our heads and spend time discerning how you are working in the world. In both ways, we give thanks for your promise to be with us and to guide us. The path may not always be prominent or straightforward, but you offer yourself to us regardless of what life brings. You breathe the breath of life into us that allows us to experience you in a special way, and you created us with a mind that helps us to consider those moments and how they guide our everyday lives. The beauty of that is not lost on us today as we worship you. As our hearts are turned to you this morning, we ask for your wisdom to work in us and be evident in the way we live and speak. Let your love shine through us and offer the world a glimpse of the eternity you offer, a glimpse of becoming the people you created us to be, a glimpse of the beloved community that you desire for all people. We know there is wisdom in knowing we don't go through this life alone, and it's in that knowing that we come before you to offer our hearts and our lives. Each day presents its own hardships and its own joys, and in sharing those with you this morning, we are trusting in the promises that you have shared with us, the promise to be present with us. We trust that your Spirit speaks to our hearts, comforting and guiding us as we lift up those needs to you. God, we give thanks. We give thanks for those moments in time where we sense your presence embracing us and causing our hearts to grow. Thank you for the many ways that you are present in our lives, for we know that you are constantly offering yourself to us. Thank you for that never-ending grace. And it's in the spirit of that love that we join together and boldly pray as one body the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather together our gifts and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the aisles. May we give with joy to the God who has been so generous to us. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. One of the joys in life is when your family gets a little bit bigger. And today, our church family is getting a little bit bigger. At the early service, we invited into membership Molly Lentz. And today, we're inviting the Larson family. Chase, unfortunately, his wife and three-month-old could not be here today, having traveled back from Seattle, right?
Correct. The old guy doesn't want to sleep right now, so being a little bit of a, he's all right, we're learning. We're babies, so
old
guy in the picture.
There you go. So we are so excited that you all are joining this congregation and diving into life here at the church. Chase and Grace, as I mentioned, come from Seattle, Washington, and Logan, who is 3 months old, and we are so excited to have you here and be a part of this family. We are thankful that this is your community and that you've made this your home. And so, Chase, with your desire to become a member of this family, we ask you these questions. As a member of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As a member of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And if so, say, I will.
I will.
Wonderful. And to those of us gathered here, please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members with the words found in your bulletin or on your screen. Family of God, Chase and family are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, I want to invite you to join me through these doors over here to meet Chase and welcome him into this family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen. Right, if you'll join me this morning.
receive this benediction now from the words we have just sung together. Fears and doubts too long have bound us. May God free our hearts to work and praise. May God grant us wisdom and grant us courage for the living of these days. Amen.